It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
You probably heard the controversy over the pastor who is planning to burn the Quran on September 11th. Is this a bold prophetic statement that exposes the deception of Islam, or is this a foolish, unnecessary provocation that hurts our witness to Muslims and puts American lives, especially soldiers around the world, at risk? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. What's your take? Good thing or foolish thing? Someone finally standing up for what's right and saying we're not going to bow down to this false spirit of Islam, or an absolutely foolhardy thing to do as a Christian witness? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org, or get into our lively discussion right now taking place on our Facebook page. That is Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Okay. I also want to give you an update on the call event, the 12-hour prayer and fasting event that took place Saturday, Sacramento, following a night of worship and prayer the night before. I want to give you some reflections on that, as well as, hopefully I can get to it today, a statement from Jim Garlow, respected evangelical leader. I got to spend time with him. He's a leader in California, one of the key men standing for marriage, true marriage in America today. His take on the Glenn Beck rally, and trust me, this is worth it, even if you have to listen to the last minute, if that's the only time I can squeeze it in. I've got to tell you about someone I sat next to flying from Sacramento to Phoenix on the way home on Sunday. And if you're listening to us in the greater Greenville, South Carolina area, welcome to The Line of Fire. It's nice to add you to our listeners. Okay, trust me, I sat next to one of the authors of the Dead Sea Scrolls. She said, weren't Dead Sea Scrolls written like 2,000 years ago? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll squeeze that in somewhere, but a very nice talk with a nice guy from Sacramento to Phoenix. All right. First, let's focus in on something real serious, which is the question of the burning of the Quran. Pastor Terry Jones, who leads the 50-member Dove World Outreach Center in Gainesville, Florida, has now been made aware that General David Petraeus himself has spoken out against this. This is a report in the Wall Street Journal. General David Petraeus said the Taliban would exploit the demonstration for propaganda purposes, drumming up anger toward the U.S. and making it harder for allied troops to carry out their mission of protecting Afghan civilians. What about reaching out to Muslims with the gospel? How is this going to affect it? He said it could endanger troops. That was my question. The Wall Street Journal was not asking the outreach question. That was me. Petraeus says it can endanger troops and it can endanger the overall effort. It is precisely the kind of action the Taliban uses and could cause significant problems, not just here, but everywhere in the world. We're engaged with the Islamic community. There are already protests. There are already signs of real anger towards Americans, American troops from Muslims. And remember, a country like Afghanistan, you're dealing with radical Muslims. So what did Terry Jones, the pastor, say to this? We understand the general's concerns. We are sure that his concerns are legitimate. Nonetheless, he added, we must send a clear message to the radical element of Islam. We will no longer be controlled and dominated by their fears and threats. Now, I'm going to let you hear from Pastor Terry Jones in a moment in an interview on CNN with Rick Sanchez. Thus far, out of the many comments that immediately came pouring in when I asked this question on Facebook, they're overwhelmingly against the pastor's actions. Tommy, I'd say it's a cowardly, pathetic statement that exposes the ignorance of the burner, truly knowing anything about Islam and its goals would be the first clue that any such action would only provoke more hatred and harm. Gill said, I can't see anything other than the results of the xenophobic fear-mongering around Islam that is infecting the church. Whatever happened to love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you? Andrew, I personally don't feel it's a good thing to do. Do we disagree with them? Surely. Do we believe their system to be false? Certainly. But to purposely provoke someone to anger in such a manner seems to be devoid of any true love of Christ. Michael asks, how does burning the Quran fulfill the Great Commission? Rayanne, I think it's a very foolish and unnecessary provocation that will hurt our witness. It's churches like this one that give all of us a bad name. Let's see. The word says, blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the peace breakers, and on it goes. Overwhelmingly negative, saying what the pastor's doing is wrong. So let me take the other side of the issue just for argument's sake, okay? Why do we have to bow down to Islam in this, we can't offend them, don't offend a Muslim? I mean, here's a report in that Wall Street Journal article that I read that there was one soldier and a Quran fell out of his backpack, fell out of something he was carrying, and there was word that he threw it down intentionally. He opened a locker during an inspection of Afghan trainees' barracks. That's it. The rumor quickly spread that the officer had thrown it to the ground, angering trainees at the camp. He quickly apologized, but rumors took off like wildfire. General Caldwell said it was so hard to get the misperception turned around, we stopped all training for the rest of the day. Well, isn't that the very thing that this pastor's taking on? Why this hypersensitivity? Come on, it's a false religion. It needs to be exposed. They're terrorists, and they want us to just bow down to them in fear, and we can't live our lives in fear. And didn't God tell the Israelites, when you come into the promised land, destroy the idols, burn the idols? In Acts 19, when repentance broke out among the believers in Ephesus, didn't they take their magical books and burn them? When I was newly saved, I took my rock albums and the things that had just pulled me into sin, that whole music and culture, and just smashed and destroyed the albums. Isn't this a prophetic statement? Might not a prophet like Elijah stand up and do this very thing today? Isn't it just this wimpy so-called Christian spirit, which is just a man-pleasing, spineless, false representation of the real Jesus, who was the one that went into the temple and drove out the money changers with a whip? 866-34-TRUTH. Maybe what this pastor's doing is right. I'm taking the other side to get you to think, because most of the time I post a question on Facebook and the responses come in, and it may not be 50-50, but there's always a lively discussion both ways. Whereas today it's been overwhelmingly condemning the pastor. Hey, Joey, let's listen to the beginning of this clip with Pastor Terry Jones explaining his actions to Rick Sanchez, who's obviously very much opposed to his actions, on CNN.
Do you know how many Muslims there are in the world?
I think there's about 1.5 billion.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I ask you that question because that's a very big number. Why would you want to do this to 1.5 billion people, as you say, in the world by burning their most sacred book? That's crazy.
Well, for one thing, for us, the book is not sacred.
But it is for them.
But it is for them. Doing this action.
So if I don't, but I don't mean to interrupt, but you just told me something that's ridiculous. To you, it's not sacred. How about it's sacred to them? That's like saying I'm going to burn down your house because I don't like your house. It's not my place to burn down your house.
No, we're not burning down a house. And what we are also doing by the burning of the Quran on 9/11, we're saying stop. We're saying stop to Islam, stop to Islamic law, stop to brutality. We have nothing against Muslims. They are welcome in our country. They are welcome to worship. We have freedom of worship. We have freedom of speech. They are welcome. What is not welcome?
So
what
if
we are saying with the burning of the Quran,
not
welcome is Islamic law and
how
the brutality of Islamic law. That is what's not welcome.
How would you feel if a Muslim said to you what you just said to them? I have no problem with you, Mr. Christian. You're welcomed in my country, but I'm burning your Bible. How would you feel?
I would not like it, but it's their right. We live in America.
Well, they live
in
America.
And with that, we want to make a statement.
Let's cut it here. I want you to hear his statement on the other side of the break. Okay, it doesn't sound like this guy is foaming at the mouth. It doesn't sound like he is just screaming and yelling, to hell with the Muslims. We're going to burn the Quran as a sign that they're going to burn. Could it be that someone needs to speak up and make this prophetic statement? Or is this the very thing that gives the gospel a bad name, not just among the Muslims, but even here in America? 866-34-TRUTH. Got a whole lot more to come. Stay with us. Should we burn the Quran? Pastor Terry Jones burned the Quran September 11th to send a message to the Muslim world. We've had enough with the violence. We've had enough with the brutality. We reject Sharia law. Although Muslims are welcome in our country, you have freedom of speech. And if you want to burn a Bible, we don't like it, but that's your prerogative. Does this hurt our witness? Does this endanger our troops? Or are those questions you don't ask because we must do what's right and take bold stands? 866-34-TRUTH. Again, join the discussion, the very lively discussion taking place right now on Facebook. I am not an expert in Islam, but I did study classical Arabic for 3 years. I have the Quran in Arabic and Quranic commentaries and a 15-volume Arabic dictionary, which is considered a classic of the work. So I fully have the ability to dive into these things, and I have done Islamic study. I'm a specialist in Jewish apologetics and biblical studies. I'm not a specialist in Islam, but I could answer a ton of questions about it. But for those that aren't aware, as much as Christians reverence the Word of God, true believers reverence the Word of God, it's more extreme in the Muslim world in terms of a physical reverence for the book. Meaning, I remember the Arabic professor I had in college was telling us that just studying Arabic with Muslims, having a Quran on their desk, and it fell off the desk, you just casually picked it up, and they were in a state of shock. You fell on the desk, you fell off on the floor with the desk. And so to burn it is an extreme affront to Islam. And say in a country like Pakistan, where you have a tiny Christian minority, often persecuted, always suffering on one level or another because of their Christian status, all you have to do is say someone blasphemed Muhammad. Bring a charge, so-and-so. This fellow whose last name is Masih, which is the normal identification of a Christian in that country. This fellow blasphemed Muhammad. He wrote against the Quran. All you have to do is bring a charge, and almost that is enough to start a riot against you. And generally speaking, those involved in Muslim ministry will tell you, sure, we unashamedly preach Jesus and clearly state who he is, contrary to what the Quran teaches, but we never attack Muhammad because that's not the way to win a Muslim. 866-34-TRUTH. Larry in Madison, North Carolina, thanks for calling. Hello? Are you there, Larry? If you are, I can't hear you. Sorry about that. Hey, Joey, let's find out what's going on because I could not hear the caller. Now, perhaps Larry was communicating in sign language or something like that, which I appreciate, but doesn't help me. So we'll see what's going on there. Okay. Let me just read a couple more comments of the many that have been pouring in. Cherry Nove said, I do not think this burning is the proper thing, but it does send a clear signal to Muslim-dominated nations that we don't want our Bibles, churches, flags burned either. I guess I don't understand the outcry of our deeds to them, but the silence on our Bibles, churches, flags are burnt. Kathy, if they can attempt to build a mosque near Ground Zero, we can burn the Quran. A taste of their own medicine may be exactly what they need. All right, so a few folks weighing in, backing the pastor. or agreeing on some level. William, if anyone can give me one single scripture for the New Testament that condones this behavior, I might consider letting this guy off the hook. In fact, save your effort, because there is none. This is a sinful act of hatred that has nothing to do with Jesus or the church. Can you imagine early church fathers doing this? And so on, the discussion goes. John in Wake Forest, thanks for calling today.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Great. This pastor in Florida that wants to burn the Quran, I'm totally against that. Jesus did not preach that. Basically, what we need to do is pray for these people. When our Lord and Savior was hanging on that cross, he just said, forgive them. And he still loved those two guys that were between him and also the people that were down there spitting on him. We need to pray for these people. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our president, for his salvation, for other leaders of other countries, for their salvation. Jesus did not teach this, that burning of the Quran is not, it's not correct. And I just hope he gets convicted before this happens, to where, nope, I'm going to get on my knees and pray for forgiveness and pray for these people.
Okay, so John, I think you speak for many, many of our listeners who would find this contrary to the spirit of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. By spirit, I mean the attitude with which he lived and his teachings. What if someone said, no, this is being a bold prophetic witness, just like when Jesus cleansed the temple and drove out the money changers, drove out the animals with a whip? There's a time to be a bold prophetic witness, just like John the Baptist rebuked Herod publicly for his adultery. This is the kind of thing that believers should do, and we're just too timid to do it today. How would you respond to that?
Well, this is not something to where you're going to destroy something and create enemies. What Jesus did, he just brought to light, this is a house of the Lord. This should not be, you should not be conducting business this way in here. But the eye for the eye thing, this is why our world is in such a mess. It's not right. And I pray for that pastor to change his mind.
Got it. Hey, John, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Look, in fact, you could say, okay, when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, and they took it over, now they destroyed the idols that remained that were in their possession. In other words, they took over the houses, the sacred places, all that. They destroyed their enemies. Now they have to destroy that which remains of pagan worship in their own midst. The burning of the magical books in Acts 19 and witchcraft sorcery stuff, those were people who got convicted when they got saved and burned their own stuff. The cleansing of the temple by Jesus, this was in-house. This was his father's house, and he was cleansing it, as opposed to sending a prophetic message to the secular world, so to say. Hey, let's just let Pastor Terry Jones from the CNN interview get out a little bit more of his message. So go ahead with the rest of that clip, Joey.
Stand up and speak out on what we believe in. But we believe that Islam is of the devil. No, that it is causing billions of people to go to hell.
You believe
it is
that.
A deceptive religion.
You believe
it is
that.
A violent religion.
You believe that.
That is proven many, many times.
No,
and
because
it is time that there, churches, there politicians are, there stand are, up and speak the truth.
There are moderate
All right. Okay.
Muslims,
good. Good.
Sir,
that's thanks. Thanks. Okay, I just wanted you to hear what he had to say. I'm not judging his motivation, and from what he's saying, as I said, he's not foaming at the mouth. Yet I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I'm not even going to say what God's telling him to do or not do. I'm not judging another man's servant. I'm saying, looking at the bigger picture of our overall witness to the Muslim world and the safety of Americans in the Muslim world, then I would say this is something he should not do. Although I'm not painting him into some loony based on what I heard from that audio clip. I understand where he's coming from. I differ with the approach. All right, we come back. I'm going to tell you about the guy I sat next to on the plane. Trust me. You don't want to miss this. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We've been talking about the pastor who, from what I can tell, in all sincerity, feels it is a right thing to burn the Quran publicly, to make a public statement, and to say this is a deceptive religion, this is damning people into hell, and we stand against the violence of Islam, or at the least Islamic extremism, etc. I don't question his motivation, and I know others that love the Lord that have done similar things in the past. I mean, even this very exact thing of burning the Quran. I simply say it is not a good thing to do, and that the repercussions of it, the potential bad fruit that can come out of it is, as they say, the cure is worse than the disease. Okay, I have a few updates to give you. If you'd like to weigh in on this, if you differ with me, please, by all means, let me know why you differ. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, if you've listened to The Line of Fire for any length of time, that I categorically reject the fear of man, meaning that we are more conscious of what people say than what God says. Proverbs tells us that the fear of man, in fact, is a snare. The man-pleasing spirit that is so concerned with keeping people happy, keeping people in the pews, keeping the big givers satisfied, keeping the board members happy, as opposed to pleasing the Lord, I utterly reject that mentality. And I examine my own life to be sure that it is not there, that in serving people, I'm first and foremost honoring God. And I believe that God does raise up people to perform prophetic acts that sometimes are very controversial and very extreme. And I'm not being this individual's judge or saying that it's impossible that God is telling him to do that. I'm not. That's not my role to say that. And I cannot say that he is explicitly violating a scripture in the Bible to do this. Otherwise, I could say God's not telling him to. But in principle, I absolutely reject it as doing more harm than good, especially since our greatest goal is the Great Commission, is being disciples and making disciples. Okay, I'll probably take a few more calls, but before I go to the phones, let me just give you an update from the Call Sacramento. My dear friend, co-worker Lou Engel has been holding these events for 10 years now, the first of which we were able to play a major role, bring about a half-hour message at the Call DC, which took place September 2nd of the year 2000 and drew several hundred thousand people, mainly young people. I believe it was the largest gathering of Christian young people in America's history for prayer, fast, and crying out to God. There have been, what, about 10 of these major ones in the States now? And then in different countries in the world, it's not an entertainment day. Speakers, worship leaders are not announced. It's prayer, fasting, crying out. We had some tremendous time in prayer for the subject of sex trafficking, human trafficking, brokenhearted prayer, crying out to God, repentance for impurity in our own life. And then a couple hours later, someone got up and said, hey, well, the very time we were praying over this issue, Craigslist announced that it will no longer have its adult section listed. It's been under intense criticism for this, and people have said it's the Walmart for sex trade, etc. So, of course, this announcement was long in coming. In other words, there had been discussion, and Craigslist made a decision that was then released Saturday morning. But the fact it was released at the pretty much the very hour of our praying was very encouraging. God saying, keep praying. Keep praying. These things are important. I'm answering your prayers. It was interesting, when I got up, I was asked to speak briefly before the section dealing with national altars that of sin, abortion being one of them, homosexual marriage being another. We had spent a lot of time early in the day dealing with rampant divorce among believers, heterosexual promiscuity, pornography. We dealt with all those things. Now we were addressing some other national issues, so I was asked to get up and give a brief presentation, use some PowerPoint for the many thousands that were gathered there in the in front of the Capitol building in Sacramento, to open people's eyes to the realities of gay activism. As we've said repeatedly, Jesus shed the same blood for heterosexual and homosexual alike. I've often apologized for the church's failings to reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. At the same time, we firmly resist gay activism. So, I got up, I was giving some quotes of what's being taught in schools or school district policy or some children's readers like me and my two daddies and those kinds of things. And you could hear the leaders on the platform with me kind of shocked as they were seeing and hearing these things. Even some who are actively involved were still, oh, impacted by this. Yet when we went to pray for this, it was almost like there was a bit of a stupor over the people. They had been praying and crying out. Yeah, I know it was hot. I know it was at that point, let's say it was 3 p.m. We had been together for over 6 hours. But it seemed like we hit a bit of a wall. And then Lou got up and really started to press in and cry out in prayer in an aggressive way. And the whole style of the worship changed to be more aggressive, to wake people up, and said, look, this is a battle over biblical truth. Lou said, this is not about feelings. This is about biblical truth. And Lou's son Jesse leaned over to me and said, you know, we haven't been preaching the truth from the pulpits for so long that, in other words, there's a vacuum that in so many circles, thank God for those preaching the truth, thank God. But in so many circles, there has really been an absence of preaching the truth from the pulpits in a clear and confrontational way and laying out what the Bible really says, then you have a whole group of people who are more influenced by entertainment media. Remember, your average teenager today spends about 7 hours a day with entertainment media of one kind or another. More influenced by that and then the secular surroundings in the schools and what their friends think and feel, it's not a surprise that a wall was hit. That we had to stir people to pray. Okay, before I go to the phones, I'm flying from Sacramento to Phoenix, first leg, and then Phoenix to Charlotte, coming home on Sunday. Sitting next to a guy, long ponytail, seems to be about my age, and turns out he's the father of a professional sports player. I don't want to say any more because I want to interact with this gentleman and be able to pray for him. We had a real nice talk. He seemed like a typical dad of an athlete, kind of a jock, just coached his kid for years and so on, and had been a prison guard and a policeman, and described himself as spiritual but not religious. Well, we kept talking, and he was very, Jesus is great, what he teaches is great, but he rejects organized religion. Well, I went to his website, found out he performs exorcisms, implant removal, curse removal, soul retrieval, ghost removal and release, clearing of imprints of distressed or evil energy from homes, balances and opens gateways, vortexes and portals, psychic and spiritual counseling, ley line and grid activation and balancing, etc. And found out about him that he has lived, according to this, 199 previous lives. Yep. And let's see. Oh... He has been, let's see, the head priest of Lemuria, which was destroyed by Atlantis. He was a Hawaiian kahuna, a Hawaiian king. One of the writers of the Dead Sea Scrolls. He was also John Hancock. and is a nice guy, too. Very open, eager to stay in touch with me, wants to read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, when it comes out. So I'm going to be emailing him, but pray for my new friend that God would reveal the only true source of life to him. Would you do that? Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Boy, just checking on Facebook, personal page, and then more importantly, our Ask Dr. Brown page. I think we got over 80 comments immediately in the discussion there about burning the Quran. Is this a bold prophetic act that this pastor wants to carry out September 11th, or is this foolish and unchristian? The vast majority weighing in against this. Someone said, based on the soundbite that I played from the CNN clip, he sounded hate-filled. You know, here's the deal. We have to do our best not to say how something sounds, because sometimes you don't see a face and you can misread how it sounds, or sometimes the way someone's just talking on TV to make sure they get a message out can be misleading. On the other hand, maybe the love of Jesus didn't pour forth. I'm not taking issue. I'm just saying I'm always careful to never ascribe motive Well, he's just doing this to get attention. He's got 50 people in his church. This gets a lot of attention. Well, that's not for us to judge, but we can evaluate the actions based on Scripture. And if you'd like to get in the discussion and you're not on our website, then go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. All right, let me grab a few more calls. Carlos in Charlotte, thanks for calling today.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown. Dr.
Hello.
Hello? Hello? Yes, this is Carlos.
Yes, you're on, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm a Spanish pastor here in the Charlotte area. And I want to have my comments about the burning of the Quran. And I think that, you know, Paul, when he was in Athens, he was sharing to the philosophers, the Epicureans, and the Stoics. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that, you know. And they had altars and all this stuff. And what I see in the New Testament, we need to differentiate between the two covenants, you know, the old and the new. In the new covenant, we have a new revelation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Muslims, they don't know what the gospel is about, all about,
mm-hmm.
and we cannot approach them by doing burning the Quran and all this stuff, because what I see is every believer that got saved during the Roman Empire, you know, after Jesus, they burned their own pagan worship idols by mm-hmm. themselves once they got saved, but not before.
Got it.
So I think that, you know, it's important to see that in the Old Testament, the Canaanites, they had the same revelation that they had from the Israelites, because we had Rahab the prostitute. She knew and she feared the God of heaven, so she repented. So they were doing that by God's command, and they had the same revelation. But not everybody had now the revelation of the gospel. So it's through the gospel that we may reach people. And once they got saved, they will burn or do whatever they want with their idols, you know? No, it's not our business to do so.
Got it. Hey, Carlos, thanks for weighing in. And since you're local in Charlotte, contact us through our website so we can get to meet one of these days, okay?
Okay, that would be
great. All right. God bless you. Thanks,
bless
sir.
You. Bye-bye.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Kip in Des Moines, Iowa, what's your take?
Well, I just had a couple of comments on this. Many of your listeners may recall when the National Endowment of the Arts set the cross in a jar of urine and called it art.
Mm.
That, of course, is supported by the taxpayers and is endorsed by Obama.
And that's art.
The person there in the White House. And then some of them perhaps forgot about the dancing in the streets in the Middle East when the planes hit the towers. I remember seeing that on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing over the deaths of these 3,000 Americans. They were all Islamic, I'd mention also. It seems as though in our culture we have this idea we're going to appease the Islamic. Better not fuss with him, better not get him upset or anything, or he's apt to go on jihad. Well, my take is, let him do it. I mean, this is so ridiculous. The pastor down there said it is an Islamic, the Quran is a satanic book. Jesus himself in John 8:58, in talking to the Pharisees, he said, you're a murderer just like your father was in the very beginning.
John 8:44, in case anyone goes to look that up. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the concept here is, I believe it is time for true believers in Christ to stand up and say, this thing isn't right, this appeasement of these Islamics, you're not going to bring them to peace. Their behavior reveals their mission. Ask
all right,
that
hey,
woman.
Yep, yep. I got to cut you off, but you've made your point very clearly, sir. Thank you for weighing in. All right, we only got a few minutes on the other side of the break, but what do you think about what Kip had to say? We'll be back. So much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Wish I had a little bit more time to talk with Kip from Des Moines, but we're up against a break, and I wanted to try to get to another call or two. 866-34-TRUTH. There's still time to weigh in on the pastor in Florida who plans to burn the Quran. Again, I've said we have no scripture right to judge motive, so whatever he says his reason for doing it is, that's what I take it to be. And there's a friend of mine, frontline gospel preacher, activist, who burned the Quran a few years ago in another state, and that caused an uproar. So it's not like I am untouched by people who feel this way. I have questioned the wisdom of it in terms of our larger commission. I'm all for Christians being bold. I'm all for believers standing up in the face of a decadent, sinful society. I'm all for us saying the cross is mocked and society backs it, but we have this hypersensitivity when it comes to something else. We're going to offend Muslims, or as a Jew, we're going to offend Jews. Speaking of which, tomorrow night brings in the traditional Jewish New Year, the biblical Feast of Trumpets, and we'll be talking about that on the show tomorrow. And if you're anywhere in the Charlotte area, I'll be preaching in a special fire service this Thursday night as we bring in the Jewish New Year. But I think we really need to look at this from the larger question, not of being reactionary, but of being Christ-like followers of Jesus. That does not mean that we are spineless. It means, though, that we overcome evil with good. Karen in Richmond, Virginia, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I've been thinking and praying about this all day, and as Christians, we need to understand these folks don't think like we do. They don't respond the same way. This is a very provocative and un-Jesus type thing this man is doing, and it could have serious repercussions nationally. I didn't know there was a Quran burning that you spoke of just a moment ago. I didn't know that, but this has national and worldwide attention now, so it's dangerous that it could set off a fire keg, and I believe that, like you were saying earlier, we need to, anyone who's listening as believers, we need to pray over this pastor and try and get the Lord to turn him around to do something else, like surround a mosque in prayer or something. You know, this is just too, we have to stay strong. We have to resist Sharia law. This is a Christian nation, and I'll stand for that forever. And I'd also like to say real quick, don't forget that Restoring Honor rally a week or so ago. I was there. I was there. There just so much progress was made on that day, and this could just undo all of that so quickly.
All right. Hey, Karen, I'm out of time. I got to run, but thank you. Thank you for weighing in. Look, I don't use the phrase, this is a Christian nation. But it is certainly not a nation in which we are going to have Sharia law or should have Sharia law, because it is against our fundamental values and the principles of law, which were Judeo-Christian principles on which our country was established. I didn't get to explain Jim Garlow's take on the Restoring Honor rally and on Glenn Beck himself, and is Glenn Beck actually a believer rather than a Mormon? Didn't get to discuss that. Tomorrow, the next day, I hope to get to it. But I'm praying for God's plan for Pastor Terry Jones. I'm not his Lord. I'm not his master. So it's not for me to tell him what to do. I'm praying for God to direct him to do what will most honor the Lord. But I think that we need to often step back and consider the wider implications of what we do and say, ultimately, will this glorify Jesus? Will this advance the Great Commission in terms of making disciples? Will this extend the kingdom of God? Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Jewish holy days, the biblical calendar. Should Christians observe these? What's the significance? A show you don't want to miss tomorrow.
This is the Truth Radio Network.